This is special programming from North State Public Radio. I'm Tess Vigeland. Tonight on After Paradise, it's been 25 days since the campfire started. Today was the first day back at school for students in Butte County. 8 of the 9 schools in Paradise burned down. Those kids are now in classrooms that are foreign to them. Residents of Magalia held an impromptu town hall over the weekend. Concern is growing over their inability to pass through the primary roads to and from Chico. And a 15-year-old from Paradise shares her Instagram post about allowing yourself to feel sad when everyone wants you to feel better. We want to hear your questions and comments. Leave a message for us at 530-433-4887 or on our website. It's mynspr.org. For Monday, December 3rd, 2018, this is After Paradise. The annual Christmas preview here in Chico brought music and merriment to a few blocks of downtown yesterday evening. Retailers kept their doors open a bit later than usual. Santa made an appearance, and a chanteuse belted out carols from the balcony of the historic Grandview building. The holidays will go on. But the undercurrent of community devastation is evident even in the smallest moments around town. The lines at CVS are longer than they used to be. Residents of Paradise can't go home, so they're filling their prescriptions here. Go to almost any restaurant and someone at a nearby table will be sharing photos of what used to be their home or talking about insurance paperwork. People wonder aloud why they're so tired, especially those who live in this town, and who didn't lose homes or family members, but still feel an emotional ache that they can't identify. No one has yet invented the word that explains what it is when an entire community grieves. Students from across Butte County finally returned to their classrooms today, but for most kids from Paradise, Magalia, and Concow, their old classrooms no longer exist. They're now at makeshift schools in different parts of the county. Michelle Wiley was there when students arrived at the new Paradise Elementary School in Oroville. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Tess.
So you were at Byrd Elementary School this morning when kids were arriving to class. What was the mood?
So the mood at the elementary school was really, really wonderful to see. I mean, after all this really hard news of people losing their homes, of people losing their lives, it was great to see little kids so excited to go back to school. You know, they were running out of the cars with their parents up to their teachers, and they were all greeted by teachers, staff, by district officials who were just ready to welcome them back. So Byrd Elementary School is a school in the Oroville School District. They actually used to have about 90 students there, but they were able to relocate them so that Paradise Elementary School, which was completely destroyed by the campfire, so all the students from that school could reattend. So they had Birds of Paradise flowers out there for them, and they had all these painted rocks. And of the students at Paradise Elementary School, they had about 500 before the fire. They estimate about 250 are coming back. And that's because some of them were relocated, or they're staying with family, or they just moved out of the state after the fire.
All right, that sounds like quite a scene at the school. And so now that the kids are back in school, what are some of the next steps? How long is it going to take the district to rebuild, and where are they in the process?
So I think that's the big question. And some of the next steps are going to be scouting locations for a new school. You know, a lot of the buildings up there were completely devastated or destroyed by the fires. So the district is now looking to see what areas they can have put portable classrooms in, or to rebuild, and just sort of starting that process. I heard they're in conversation with the Chico Unified School District to try and see, you know, if they can use an old high school as a new hub. And I think one of the most important things for them is to return to that sense of normalcy. So they want to make sure that students are staying with their friends, with their teachers. And in fact, staying with friends was one of the most important things I heard from students all day today.
So Michelle, now around 250 elementary students there in Oroville. What about the other students? Where are they?
They're kind of all over. Some students have been integrated into other schools in the Butte County School District. They are going to schools in Oroville. They're going to schools in Chico. Some of them, though, are at the Chico Mall. There was a huge line of high school students from Paradise High School who were picking up Chromebooks today. And they were getting new school supplies because their school also was devastated. So for now, instead of giving them a physical location, they'll be taking classes online. I spoke to student Bryce Russell, who was there with his mom. He'd just gotten a new Chromebook, and he says he's excited to be there picking up his new Chromebook, getting his new supplies, because while he's there, he gets to see his friends.
Well, yeah, mainly to see, like, friends and stuff, but education is super important, and that Bob Wilson guy that donated all the money, I talked to him a little bit, and he's like, please stay in school, and I want to do good in life, so it's good to stay in school.
And he's referring to Bob Wilson. That's the business owner who gave $1,000 to each one of the Paradise High School students.
All right. And were you able to talk to any parents? How do they feel about how this is all being handled?
Yeah, I spoke to Bryce Russell's mom, Dawn, and she said that today was a lot harder than she thought it was going to be.
I didn't think it'd be this emotional being here today to do this, that this is his new normal. And it hurts for me that this is what's his new normal.
They've been living about 30 minutes away in Biggs, so they're commuting back and forth, and it's a family of seven. So things for the family have been really up in the air. So I think everyone there is glad to see things return to a little bit of normalcy.
All right, that's KQED's Michelle Wiley reporting on the opening of school this morning for the kids from Paradise. Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you.
Superintendents from the state, Butte County, and the city of Paradise gathered this morning to welcome students back to school. Mark Albert has that story.
Reopening schools after the campfire has been anything but child's play. Michelle John is superintendent of the Paradise Unified School District.
Of our nine schools, four were destroyed completely. All but one have major damage. And we know there's no residents up there right now. They cannot get up there.
John and County Superintendent Tim Taylor said the goal has been to reopen schools as soon as possible and as much as possible keep students with the same teachers. That's hard to do when students and teachers from Paradise are scattered across the region.
We are spread out. Families this morning, as we were hugging, and I said, where did you come from? They came from Redding. They came from Red Bluff. They came from Sacramento. And they drove here so their kids could be with their teachers. That's all they've asked of us.
Incoming State Superintendent of Public Instruction Tony Thurman said he tried to personally reassure students with high fives, smiles, and a hearty welcome.
I talked with some second graders and tried to imagine what it must be like to walk into a place that you don't know and watch students as they ran off of the bus to give hugs to those teachers and staff that they recognize.
Some high schoolers have been assigned to a temporary site at the Chico Mall and are assigned an independent study. Officials say they hope to soon announce a new temporary school site, presumably ready for the spring semester. But beyond the hopeful rhetoric, there are plenty of mountains left to move. School funding in California is derived from property tax and average daily attendance. That's the number of students showing up on a given school day. With the vast majority of Paradise in ruins and classes throughout the county canceled for more than 3 weeks, the financial hits are staggering. Outgoing State Superintendent of Public Instruction Tom Torlakson said lawmakers in Sacramento will have to ride to the rescue, a scenario he nearly guarantees.
We will be working on special legislation. Tony Thurman, you met him. He's determined to help get that passed so that the schools will be held harmless. And if there's a drop-off of 25% or whatever the percent is, you will not lose money according to the legislation that I'm backing. And Tony Thurman will be marshaling through the state legislature.
Torlakson anticipates a deal similar to the one offered to Santa Rosa schools after massive fires there last year, with money from the state's general fund tapped to cover the district's needs. Mark Albert, North State Public Radio News.
While the Paradise Unified School District found spaces for its students in time for school this morning, it still faced a huge shortage of tables, chairs, and school supplies. So last Saturday, teachers had an opportunity to gather all those supplies from donations made by people from around the world. Jackson Cantrell has that story.
90 teachers line up with wagons, handcarts, and backpacks outside Hooker Oak Elementary School in Chico. They're waiting to pick up donated school supplies on the eve of the first day of class since the campfire. I catch up with Amy Neese and Monica Brown, teachers from Orland and Chico, who helped organize the event.
We've set up a kind of a store for all the teachers affected by the campfire so that they can get started when their students come back to them on Monday.
Everything in the multipurpose room and the school has been donated by people from all over the country. New York to California, Italy, England, Bermuda.
How many teachers do you think you're going to have come through today?
We hope that all of them come through, but we heard somewhere that maybe about 300. We're hoping to see a lot of teachers throughout the day.
Tracy Leonard is a fifth grade teacher at Ponderosa Elementary School in Paradise. The school burned down, along with its library, PE equipment, and school supplies.
I have a list. We need some supplies for art supplies and crafts for the first week of school.
What's going to be the first thing you're looking for here?
A rug and bean bags.
The doors open, and we walk into what looks like a mini office depot. Teachers rush to big bins of markers and crayons, stacks of chairs, and shelves filled with books.
How about crayons? You have all that.
We have everything like that.
Construction papers this way, I think. Watercolors, like for...
Watercolors.
Yes.
Do you want some Play-Doh, Lisa? Okay.
I follow Tracy to the sports section.
Can we get some of the jump ropes?
Yeah. Let's do like three or four.
Sounds
good.
What
about a whistle?
Yes, that'd be great, a whistle.
When the shopping ends, I head outside to the loading area where teachers are tallying up their supplies.
And what did you get?
Everything.
Thank you, Lisa.
Everything. I don't know.
Rocking chair for us, rocking chair for our students, paint, little chairs for flexible seating, baskets, games, whiteboards. Did I say easel?
As the students return to class today, these donations from people around the world will help a strange day at a new school feel a little more normal.
We're going to go back in and look at the books because that wasn't part of our 20 minutes.
Oh, okay.
For NSPR News, I'm Jackson Cantrell.
Say what you will about kids and their love of and obsession with social media. But at a time like this, apps like Instagram can become an outlet for their innermost thoughts and emotions. For 15-year-old Katie McBain, that's certainly been the case. Her family's home burned to the ground in Paradise. Her parents, brother, and all their animals, including a beloved horse, made it out alive. They're now living in a rental in Chico. Katie's Instagram is now filled with thoughtful reflections on what the fire has wrought for her own life. And in one post, she has advice for her friends that kids and adults alike might want to take to heart. We asked her to read it.
I keep seeing everyone saying they're grateful and blessed and everything, and it's good to have hope and stay positive. Like, the fire is a really big deal, and it's incredibly devastating. I'm super proud of everyone who's remained positive and hopeful, but at the same time, all I'm seeing is people saying to be grateful for your life and your family's lives and your animals if they're all okay, and I get that. But at the same time, I don't feel like people are acknowledging the fact that it's okay to feel the messy and undesirable feelings too, and to talk about them. I'm not saying focus on the bad or that the cup is half empty, but the cup isn't half full either. It's just there and half of it has water in it and half of it doesn't, if that makes sense. It's okay to feel sad. It's okay to talk about it. You're under no obligation to feel any certain way. Everyone is affected by this in their own way since we're all unique individuals who experienced it differently. I just wanted to say that it's okay to feel sad and mad and whatever the heck you're truly feeling, and it doesn't mean you aren't grateful. It's okay to feel however you feel. It's just that I want people to talk about all of the real stuff too, because that matters. Not just being thankful and feeling blessed and stuff. You don't have to hide what you feel. You don't have to pretend to feel any certain way for other people. You don't have to feel a certain way because you think it's right or wrong, because there's no right or wrong way to feel. You just feel, and all of it is okay. Don't hide what you feel. Talk about it to whoever you feel comfortable talking to. Write about it, sing about it, listen to music about it, dance about it, make art about it, post about it, whatever you want to do. Don't bottle anything up if you're doing so. Let it out. Whatever you're feeling, all the emotions are okay. The ugly ones, the pretty ones, the fun ones, the not so fun ones. I'm here for you, and I love all you lovely people. That's all for now.
That was 15-year-old Katie McBain of Paradise reading a recent entry from her Instagram account. We want to hear more from you. Let us know what you've written about the campfire and its aftermath, whether it's a diary entry, a song, or an Instagram post. Send us an email. We're at nsprnews@csuchico.edu or leave us a message at 433-4887. You're listening to After Paradise, a special production from North State Public Radio. We'll have more just ahead. This is After Paradise, a special program on the aftermath of the campfire from North State Public Radio. I'm Tess Viglund.
I'm still without electricity. I'm on Cumberland. I don't know if there's a plan. I've tried to reach out to PG&E. They say to plan for extended outage.
On Saturday afternoon, residents of Megalia held something of an ad hoc town meeting at the DeSable Guild Hall off Upper Skyway.
It's hard to live without electricity.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Electricity on Cumberland. Oh, when are we going to get the post office open again? Yes, we need the post office open again.
It was the first chance for the community to gather and both share information and vent frustrations in the aftermath of the fire. Some residents were let back into Megalia as early as a week ago, but that hasn't meant their experience is any easier than those who have still not been allowed back into their homes. Internet service, electricity, and all manner of other needs are not being met because infrastructure is still down.
We don't know who to talk to.
Yeah.
That's a brilliant
That's the piece of information we need, is a central contact for what's going to happen with the mail, somebody who actually knows, and what's going to happen with our internet service, somebody who actually knows. All of us are just contacting everybody known to mankind and getting answers.
Get nowhere.
No one knows whether it's really true.
About 200 people crowded into the hall with their neighbors. A Red Cross representative was standing by to answer questions, as was County Supervisor Doug Teeter, who lost his own home in the fire. We heard about the meeting through a listener who wrote in asking about when the roads would be opened so Megalia residents can travel back and forth to Chico. The main roads through Paradise are all closed, so residents have been making a two-hour trek up and over Butte Meadows, where snow and ice now cover the roads, as well as Garland Road, which isn't even paved. John Walker is a resident of Megalia.
We can't go down Skyway. We can't go down Clark Road. We can't go down Pence Road. And the route through Butte Meadows is too dangerous right now because of the storms. And so we're literally trapped in Megalia without any services.
So you can't go down any of these roads around the city?
We're isolated.
120-mile trek.
They're putting people in danger by using that road right now, I think. It's getting bad.
Which one?
Garland.
Garland.
Donna Utzi, who retired to Megalia with her husband just a few months ago, said people were feeling completely cut off.
People started talking to each other about a week and a half ago when we started hearing our neighbors saying, I'm running out of food and I can't get over. And these are people who've never been to a food bank in their lives. And we can't get over Butte Meadows. We did it last night to bring some more food in because we're just desperate for food. And of course, as you heard, Doe Mill and Garland, the dirt road is... You got to have a four-wheel drive to get across that. So we have young families with automobiles that won't necessarily make it. We have elderly who won't drive over Butte Meadows, especially with the snow. We've got 1,200 homes that survived. And so there's about 2,000 people up here who are trapped. And the only store is the Save More, and it's behind the clothesline.
Finally this morning, some relief came in the form of a bus that will ferry people back and forth from Magalia to the transit center in Chico. Kelly Hubbard is a spokeswoman with the Butte County Joint Information Center.
So the B line is a local transit line. They have restarted service to the Magalia residents. So that is a service that will be going from the Chico area up to Magalia. Location to get most current updates on that service would be either on the Beeline Transit Facebook page or their website, which is beelinetransit.com.
Hubbard also noted that Magalia residents with ID will be allowed to come through Pence and other roads as parts of the evacuation zones are lifted. For a list of those zones, you can visit buttecountyrecovers.org. And for those seeking the bus times from Magalia to Chico, those are at beelinetransit.com. The campfire has created something of a diaspora across Northern California. Natalia Estrada reports on one family that's moved out of Butte County, possibly for good.
Janelle Goupil sits in a downtown Eureka hotel lobby with her one-year-old baby, Rhett. Her two other children are finally back in school, and her husband found a job as a cook at a local restaurant. She remembers escaping the fire.
And so it was probably the worst and longest 2 hours of my life, just hoping that they got out of paradise.
Goupil was at work at her family's restaurant in Magalia, and her husband, Danny, was taking care of the baby. The chaos of the fire separated them for several hours before they reunited in Chico. Goupil and her husband lost their apartment and everything in it. So with nowhere to go, they made a decision to relocate to Humboldt, where they spent their honeymoon.
My husband and I looked at each other and were like, we're going to Humboldt. What are we going to do?
It wasn't easy to find a place to rent because they had three large dogs. The first rental property they tried turned them down.
We kind of got shut down at the very beginning. And to me, it kind of seemed like one of those things where, of course, after the emotional moments, everything always happens for a reason.
A few days later, they found a house in McKinleyville, a small town in northern Humboldt County. The landlord allows dogs, and it's close to the children's new school.
It's a neighborhood with sidewalks and fenced yards and, like, things that we have always been shooting for or talking about or wanting, and it's on the coast, and it's, you know, it's like, it brings tears to my eyes because it could be everything we've ever wanted. We just had to lose everything first.
Goupil and her family have no plans to go back and live in paradise. For North State Public Radio, I'm Natalia Estrada.
Business owners in paradise are working nonstop to move forward after the campfire. Jackson Cantrell met with Dr. Anthony Rudick, an optometrist who owned and ran two clinics in paradise. He feels a responsibility to look out for his 20 employees, many of whom lost their jobs and homes in the campfire.
On his morning drive to his clinic in Paradise, Dr. Anthony Rudick noticed something was very off.
There was complete and utter chaos at the Arco gas station on Clark Road. There must have been 70 cars there, 100 people. People were out of their cars like I've never seen. And then when I pulled into the office, three or four of my staff were already there, and one of them was in tears, and she said she had just driven down Pence Road, and it was flames on both sides of her car. And I think it speaks to, like, the disorienting nature of this crisis or a tragedy where, like, she was still heading to work. She showed up to work.
Just minutes later, it was time to go.
I popped my head out in the parking lot, and I started to hear kind of boom sounds, and that's when I got scared. And, you know, the eerie glow around our office just being really dark. It looked like it snowed, like a little light dusting of snow because there was so much ash on the ground already.
Meanwhile, his parents, who also live in Paradise, had a harrowing escape.
The flames were so bad and it was so dark, my mom couldn't barely see the taillights in front of her. So she called my dad on the cell phone. She's like, we're going to die. Like, I want to be in the car with you so that we can die together.
Rudick grew up in Paradise and he loves the community. That's why he returned after his residency to set up an optometry clinic.
When we say a small town, this isn't a small town like a one-stoplight town with a thousand people. It's a fully functioning community. We had an excellent hospital, doctors of every specialty pretty much. We had excellent schools, lots of different denominations of churches, and so that's all gone. So when I hear in the news it's a small town, it is a small town, but it was a self-contained and fully functioning, community.
In Paradise, Anthony co-owned two clinics and was also a partner in an optical laboratory. They have around 20 employees who are now displaced.
And it's going to be a struggle for a lot of our folks, and we're doing everything we can to try to help. I've offered my camp trailer, a couple of my staff, they can stay in on my property, and you know, my business partner's had probably six of our employees living in his house.
The business isn't only a loss to the Paradise community. Dr. Ransberger, who works at the clinic, had the only pediatric eye surgery practice from Oregon to Sacramento.
So we're working madly to try to create space in our other Chico location for her and for the kids and kind of locate them and see where they are in their treatment.
So where does he go from here? He is meeting with lawyers, CPAs, and his insurance company, trying to figure out how to rebuild and find work for his employees.
We're committed to returning to the community with our clinic and kind of phasing back in as time will allow.
Last week, he sought help from the Small Business Administration at the old Sears in Chico.
When I first walked in the door, I saw literally probably 40 of my patients sitting in the initial kind of waiting area of FEMA.
It was not as easy as he had hoped.
Walked out with a stack of paperwork that was so daunting. I think the take home for me was that my business partner's, he's an eye surgeon, he's a smart guy. We both hold multiple advanced degrees. My head was spinning at the end. It seemed like a categorical daunting task to actually procure SBA funding from the situation. You know, if you just lost everything and you've got a potential $10,000 bill just to get your CPA and your attorneys to provide you what you need to apply for a loan in a crisis situation, that to me seemed a little absurd.
Their house miraculously is still standing, but his family won't be able to return for months. Rudick is now balancing the recovery of his business, his employees, and his family.
My daughter's three. She'll be four next month, so she really had no idea what was going on. We have four dogs and three cats. I mean, we're doing great compared to a lot of people. I mean, we're stressed and we're fatigued. But there's a lot of pain and heartache out there, and a lot of people got hurt. You know, as a business person, you're always trying to consider plan A, B, C, and D. And as a family man, you're always trying to think about and anticipate potential obstacles that might affect your ability to take care of your family or worry about your family's health. And certainly this was not in the textbook.
Rudick will distribute some of his employees from Paradise to offices in Chico. Meanwhile, he's trying to secure a loan from the SBA so he can start to rebuild.
So I think that this is a time when the community can come together, and I've been really impressed to see that so far. Like, everybody wants to help.
For NSPR News, I'm Jackson Cantrell.
That is our program for Monday, December 3rd, 2018, 25 days since the fire started. We are produced by Sarah Bohannon, Mark Albert, and Phil Wilkie. Adam Ragusea composed our theme music. Special thanks today to Cameron Ford. Lyle Lovett and Robert Earl Keen played at Laxon Auditorium last Friday. It was the first big act to come to town since the fire. Lovett's songs often talk about a sense of place and also about the loss of place. And so to take us out today, here's Lyle Lovett with This Old Porch. Tomorrow, we take you through exactly what happens when you walk into the FEMA Disaster Recovery Center. Thanks for being with us. I'm Tess Vigeland, and this is After Paradise from North State Public Radio.
This old porch is just a long time waiting and forgetting and remembering the coming back and not crying about the leaving. And remembering the falling down and the laughter of the curse of luck from all of those sons of bitches who said we'd never get back up.